4,000 miles from Los Angeles, a small rocket plane drifts on the surface of the water. 400 miles from Los Angeles, a small passenger vessel races southward at its none-too-good full speed. On the boat, Mrs. Gregory, Jerry, and Joan are waiting patiently in the radio room for news of Captain Bradford. But the captain and his companion are a little too busy to be sending any radio messages right now. When the girl submarine commander, who has joined the Gregory party, and Tex Bradford landed their stolen rocket plane on the position directly above Euclidea, they found that the Euclideans had made one unsuccessful attempt to escape and were planning another. In the rocket plane, the girl sits alone, looking anxiously into the water, down into the mysterious depths which conceal the underwater city of Euclidea.
Give me your hand here, Captain Bradford. No, do not attempt to remove your helmet in the water. Come aboard.
Well, that was quite a dive with only a helmet.
It was remarkable. Did you descend deeply enough for your purpose?
I sure did. Planted two bottles of that solvent of mine where they won't even dare to touch one of the submarine locks, much less open one.
That is splendid, Captain. Now I will not need to use more of my limited supply of magnetic bombs.
Good thing. We may have other uses for those little gadgets.
Do you wish to suspend your solvent over the surface lock at this time?
That's not what I'm sure. Planting these glass globes full of the solvent is a good deal like laying a mine. No fun to have to go down there and pick them up ourselves.
They are set to break very easily, are they not?
Yes, if they contact anything metallic. Naturally, I couldn't have them going off every time a fish swam into them, but I hung them where they would be touched by the leading edge of the lock gate the moment it started to move.
And at the surface lock, the procedure would be the same?
Yeah, just about. Though I think I'd put the bottles where they'd have to strike them to turn the valve. Without the valve to flood the lock, they can't use it.
Very good. Except, as you have noted, in an emergency, we might have to use that lock to enter Euclidea.
That's the trouble. We couldn't get any more than they could get out. Of course, I could try getting the solvent loose without breaking both bottles, but it wouldn't be any too easy.
I will do as you say.
I have to risk it, I guess. If we don't bottle them up while we have a chance, they'll finally get desperate enough to come out in spite of the flood that will pour in there. And some of them will make it.
Surely enough of them to cause trouble for us.
More important than that. Enough water would get in there to drown everyone else in the colony. We want to do this without hurting anyone if we can.
Then I suggest we place your solvent to guard that airlock immediately.
Will it use all our gas to taxi over there?
Almost, but we have little choice.
Okay, let's go.
Very well. In a few seconds, we will drift over the location.
Well, don't worry about using the gas to hold us there. I'll take this line down with me. And if you drift a little, I can get back easy enough.
I will hand the solvent to you after you are in the water, as I did before.
That's safest. Those two bottles ever banged together and broke, that stuff would eat a hole through this boat before we could move.
We are practically over the lock now.
Okay, I'll get out. Then you hand me the bottles.
Will you secure this line about your waist?
Maybe I'd better at that. I might run into a little surprise of some kind down there. They could be watching us, you know.
I presume they are, but I think you are in no danger from that. Everyone on Euclidea knows of your solvent, and they realize that any accident to you would flood the colony.
I hope they do realize it. Well, here I go. Wait a second until I get this line trailing freely in the water now. Okay. Pass out the bottles one at a time.
Here is the smaller one.
Got it?
And here is the larger.
Fine. Now keep this door open. Once I'm down, feel this line and keep it fairly tight. If I give you two quick ones, use some gas dragging me away from there. Don't wait to try and pull me in.
I understand perfectly, Captain. Here is your helmet.
These little helmets are pretty good at that. I'll make it as quick as I can.
Gregory to Captain Bradford. Hello, Tex. Waiting for your report. Patricia Gregory to Captain Bradford. Hello, Tex. Patricia Gregory to Tex Bradford. Hello, Tex. Waiting for your report. Can you hear me? Hello, Tex. Calling as you requested. Can you hear me?
Elaine Raleigh to Gregory boat. Call you later. Working now. Call you later. That is all.
I will wait for your call.
The captain should now be coming up. All is not well with him. There. Two sharp jerks on the line. I will pull him to safety.
I'm all right, Elaine. Be with you in a minute.
I will help you with the line, Captain. Did you lose your helmet?
No. I took it off. Be all right in a minute.
Let me have your hand.
Okay, here I come. Oh, boy. Thanks.
Were you underwater long without your helmet?
Just about as long as I could hold my breath. Seemed like half a day, but I suppose it was about a minute.
You are very cold, Captain. This night air with that slight breeze and your wet clothes.
No, I'm all right.
You will go into the rear compartment and dress yourself in dry clothes immediately.
But we've got work to do. I heard those Euclideans say
what
that...
you heard them say can wait. I will be in a most unpleasant position if you become ill.
I guess you're right. No time. Look over there.
Captain, the surface of the water is disturbed over a large area.
Right, and that's what I heard them talking about when I took off my helmet to put my ear against the wall of that lock.
What is happening?
They're raising the island again.
Raising the island?
That's what they're doing.
If that happens, we are powerless.
Just about, as far as I can see. How long will it take them to get that thing above water?
The island was accidentally disabled and partially flooded during that artificial volcanic eruption. They will have to raise it very slowly. I would say 300 seconds before the ceiling of the island could possibly reach the surface.
That water's moving around a lot over there now.
Maybe nearer the surface than I calculated. I am sure, however, that it will take 300 seconds to bring the floor of the island above the surface, after we see the tops of the surface chambers.
And in 5 minutes, we've got to figure how to capture 300 people, with a dozen exits to safety, and all the arms and ammunition on Euclidea. And we've got just 2 little bottles of solvent.
I have a desperate plan, Captain. Will you risk it with me?
I'll try anything.
Then call your boat, quickly. Tell them what's happening.
What good will that do?
Our plan will probably fail. It is only fair to warn them what to expect.
Right. Bradford to Gregory boat. Bradford calling Gregory boat. Hello? Hello? I don't get them.
Try it again, and hurry. The island is rising.
Bradford calling the Gregory boat. Hello? Hello? Hello?
Hello. Hello. Bradford calling Gregory boat. Hello. Can you hear me?
It's Tex.
Yes, Jerry. Answer him at once.
Bradford to Gregory boat. This is a hurry up. Answer at once.
Hello, Tex. Jerry Hall on Gregory boat to Captain Bradford. Go ahead, Tex. Go ahead.
Get all of this and get it quick, kid. We're going to have trouble. The island is being raised again.
Jerry, the island.
Yeah, they're raising it.
Did you get that?
Oh, Jerry, what is it?
Wait, Mother.
Yes, Tex. I got it. Raising the island.
Right. Elaine says we've got about 5 minutes to plan some way to stop them. If we don't, well, you're going to be running into trouble when you get here.
What are you going to do?
Let me take it, Jerry. Hello, Tex. Can we do anything?
Don't know what it would be. They're raising the island, and it looks hopeless.
We'll keep coming, Tex. Full speed ahead. Oh, Tex, we'll help if we get there in time.
Afraid you won't make it, Pat, but hold it. Hold it a minute.
Tex! Tex, what happened? Tex!
No use, Mrs. Gregory. I heard a set cut out.
There was water. I know I heard rushing water.
Yes, Mother, but we can do nothing.
Well, see if you can find anything wrong with this radio set, Jerry.
Well, I'll try, Mrs. Gregory, but the trouble's on the other end.
And we can't do a thing to help them.
Guess not. And they're raising that magic island again.
I thought the island was destroyed accidentally in that eruption.
Perhaps they had a reason for allowing us to believe that.
Jerry, is the set all right?
It's perfect, Mrs. Gregory. Tex just quit sending, that's all.
Joan. Run and get Mr. Johnson. Have him turn the wheel over to the quartermaster. Get him in here at once.
Yes, Mother. I will go at once.
And Jerry.
Yes, Mrs. Gregory?
Get the engineer and the skipper. Send them to me as fast as you can.
But what will you do?
Oh, I'll stay with this radio. Get those men in here.
But I will. As quickly as I can, Mrs. Gregory. Hey, Joan. Wait a minute.
I am in a hurry, Jerry.
I know it, but wait a minute.
But Jerry, Mother told me to hurry and send Mr. Johnson to her.
Yeah, and I'm after the skipper and McLeod the engineer, but a couple of seconds won't hurt anything.
What is it?
Well, I didn't want to say anything in front of your mother, but this looks mighty bad. Well, I'll never get there in time to rescue Tex and Elaine.
I feel that too, Jerry. Is there nothing we can do?
Not a blame thing from here. If we were in 500 miles of that blame magic island, we could try for it with this little plane lashed to the deck. But 4,000 miles, no chance.
Then if you are so helpless, why did you stop me? I should be completing my mother's orders.
Well, I've got a crazy plan, if you'll help me with it.
I will do anything.
Well, this won't help the captain a bit.
Oh, but Jerry...
Wait till I finish. It won't help the captain, but it will help your mother a little. Keep her from worrying for a while, and that'll be something.
Oh, yes, Jerry. If we can help Mother maintain her peace of mind, we will be accomplishing something.
Right, and here it is. Now, there's a little portable transmitter, a pack outfit in Texas cabin on this boat.
But what good will a radio do?
Will you wait till I finish this?
Yes, Jerry.
Well, as soon as I send Mac and the skipper to your mother. Hey, wait a minute. Here's the skipper now. Hey, skipper.
Aye.
Mrs. Gregory wants you and McLeod in the radio shack right away. Will you please tell Mac?
Aye.
And hurry it up?
Aye.
Now, your message to Johnson can wait a minute. Here's what I'll do. The minute those men are out of sight, and you get Johnson in the radio shack, come right into Texas cabin. I'm going in there right now and set up the pack transmitter.
What will you do with it?
Well, you can sound like Elaine, can't you?
Not very well, I'm afraid, Jerry. I have never learned to speak easily,
well,
as you do.
All right, I'll fix that, too. I'll fix the microphone so your voice will sound pretty bad. Mrs. Gregory won't be able to tell who it is. Now, I want you to pretend to be Elaine. You're sending your mother a message as if Elaine was a
sender. But what can I say?
Oh, anything. It doesn't matter. Just so your mother thinks Tex and Elaine are still afloat and doing all right. You can say that everything is all right or that you'll be too busy to talk for a few hours.
Excellent, Jerry. I will say that the captain and I are too busy for radio communication, but all is well and we will send further information when possible.
Ah, now you've got it. Hurry and send Johnson to your mother. Then run for Texas cabin, and the minute you get there, we'll call this boat and you can cheer up your mother.